Again, praise the Lord. Good to see all of you. Would you please stand? And we do have in service with us this morning Peter and Casey Sandon and their new daughter, Evelyn. It's back here. All right, way back here. Okay. Our very newest member. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. I think Mark baptized someone yesterday. Is that right? So far, if my account is right, we're up to 19 this year already. Praise God. Last year, we closed out with 314 filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank the Lord for that. Now, on Sunday, we now have 6 services going. We've got one on the west side going right now. We have this one. We have our Spanish-English at 1. At 2 o'clock, we have our African International Ministries. And tonight, we will have our hyphen and also another English service here in the auditorium. Praise God. I thank the Lord for all that He is doing right now. Praise God. Also, I'd like to announce that we have a wedding coming up as Tom and Cindy. Tom, can you stand? All right. Okay, and Cindy, raise your hand. Okay.
We're getting married at 7 o'clock, February 14th, and you all are invited. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Now let's put our hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
They one time attended Green Bay Church. Good to have you back into God's
country. All right, well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke the 9th chapter, verse 51. Last Sunday morning we talked about guarding your attitude. Guarding your attitude. And we didn't get finished, so this is going to be lesson number 2. Hopefully I get further along. I didn't cover hardly anything. The introduction was so long. But it's good to know that we have help from God. And I want to say this at the offset, you know, we really have to watch our attitude. And if our attitude is bad, it denotes a very serious character flaw. You hear what I said? Every now and then, I'll see someone, ask them how they're doing. Not so good today. I'm not in a good mood. The Lord doesn't like for you to be temperamental. He doesn't like for you to have a bad attitude. He doesn't like for you to be negative. So, when we talk about these things, it's kind of toe-stomping time, you know. You know what that means. So, when you're seated, put your feet way up underneath the pew, okay? Because we're gonna get right down to the nitty-gritty of this, all right? Now, from Luke the 9th chapter, verse 51, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he had steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And his messengers before his face, and sent his messengers before his face, they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Have you ever wanted someone to just go away? Well, that may not be quite as bad, you know, as asking for fire to come down from heaven, but it's kind of a step in that direction. verse 55, and he turned and rebuked them and said, "Boys, you got a bad attitude and you don't even know it." See, that's basically what he's saying. "You guys have a dirty, rotten spirit. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Now, we have to keep in mind always when we're dealing with people, even people that we consider our enemies, and we talked about this last week, Jesus wants to save those people. And the people that despitefully use you and persecute you and curse you, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do good to them, bless them. And if for some reason we fail to do that, we may indeed be sending that person away, and that person may never find God in the power of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and worship the Lord before you're seated. God, we love you, Jesus. We do. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. You are so good, God. You are. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. Let's just define attitude. Now, when I say define attitude, I'm talking about define attitude in the light of what I am speaking on this morning. Attitude is just a way of thinking and behaving, whether it be good or bad. So you can have a bad attitude. You can also have a good attitude. David said in Psalm 51 when he repented, he said, "Renew within me the right spirit, O Lord," or give me the correct attitude. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the changing, the renewing of your minds." Now, we're going to talk to you today about how to build character. I looked out at my car one day, and I thought, well, probably I can get a few more miles out of these tires. I had Brother Jeff Merkus to look at it, the tires. He said, "I think you can go all this summer on those tires." Then a couple people in the parking lot looking at my tires. Everybody inspects my tires. Now, when you go out today, don't look to see if it's clean or dirty, okay? You hate dirty cars? How many of you hate dirty cars? Okay, don't look. Don't look to the left when you go out the door on the end, okay? Just look straight ahead or to the right. It's okay to look to the left once you get past the first row of cars. Hard to keep your car washed in this kind of weather. Actually, my car has been washed within the last 3 days. You couldn't tell it by looking at it. Putting all this sand on the roads instead of salt, which I guess is really better for your cars, but does it ever make a mess, especially in your garage? Now, the thing about it is, I try my best to keep my vehicles washed and clean, because I know that most people hate dirty cars, including myself. And I like to keep my car in a good state of repair. But the big problem I have is that I am a tightwad. I don't spend money unless I have to. Maybe I should say this. I don't spend money unless I want to. And when it comes to spending money, usually I don't want to. I'm one of the few guys who could put $20 in his wallet and carry it around for a couple of months. It's easy when you have Sister Grant that's got a purse. So how have I been carrying this $20 for 2 months? You said, because you've been using mine. couple of years ago, church gave Sister Grant $200 for her birthday. Come November sometime, I said, where'd you get the money to do this? She said, the church gave me that $200. I said, you're still carrying it around? She said, yeah. Well, she had bought this, she'd bought that, she'd bought this, she'd bought that, but she didn't count that against the $200. So then when it came Christmas time, she said, I'm going to spend my $200. I said, I thought you spent it back at our anniversary. She said, no. She said, I wrote a check for that. Like it. You've got to be that cash. But I broke down, I went and got new tires. Now, what I want to talk to you about flat tires just for a minute. See, every car needs tires, at least the ones that I've driven. It makes no difference how well you keep your car washed, how fine-tuned your engine is. If you have a flat tire, you're going to end up beside the road or having a wreck or something. So you want to make sure that you balance those tires, keep the front end aligned, or all the tires now aligned. You want to make sure that you have the proper inflation or air in the tires. Because when you have a flat tire, regardless of what's under the engine, regardless of how shiny the car is, I thought that one was pretty good. It's better than this one, isn't it? Turn me up a little bit, Jordan, okay? Praise God. Can all of you hear me back there? Yeah. I can hear myself too. I don't like the monitor to be high when I preach. You know, I don't like people screaming in my ear. And I don't want to scream in yours. Now, where was I? I know where I was. I was just checking to see if you were listening. How many of you really don't know where I was? Everybody, okay, let me ask a few questions, okay? So if you have a tire that's flat, it stops the car. Now you may have the best engine in you, that is the power of the Holy Ghost. You may dress and look holy on the outside. But on the other hand, if you have a bad attitude, it stops you. Do you think that God can use someone with a bad attitude? He can, unless he violates his word, and he's not going to do that. In regards to why your attitude is not right, it just stops you. It stops you right in your tracks. And I have known of people that have struggled all their life. I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be used. And I've known of people to pray and fast and seek God. But they never get the idea that there's something flawed in their character that needs to be corrected. Some people, they must just sit around and think of things to say to kind of get even or to get ahead of someone. Now, here's the whole thing. If people genuinely tick you off when they act dumb, I'm probably talking to you. Oh, let's go a little bit further. I am talking to you. Now, for the most part, people don't bother me. As a pastor, what bothers me the most about people is when I know that there's someone that's bothering somebody else. I feel that That's my responsibility to help the situation. But when you have flat tires, regardless of how great your car is, it's just simply not going to go anyplace. Now, let me just throw out a few scenarios and let you look at this. What about this? You know her. If there's a problem, she can always create one. Have you ever known anyone like that? One sister told me one time, she says, "Why am I always in the midst of trouble? Every time there's a problem, my name is mentioned." I said, "Oh, I'm glad that you recognize that. That's what I was going to talk to you about." I remember one time calling a husband and a wife in my office, and I said, "Look," I talked to the husband, I said, "Your wife has been gossiping. I've talked with her and talked with her and talked with her. And I said, I feel that I've got to take some action." She said, "Well, what are you trying to do to me?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to get you into heaven. Because the route you're going, you're not going to get there." "So, I have previously talked to your husband, and he and I both agree that we're going to team up against your gossiping spirit to get you into heaven, whether you want to go there or not." Now, the first principle, or basically the principle by which all human relationships should be conducted, is found in the Sermon on the Mount, Luke 7, verse 12. Luke 7, verse 12. I'm not even sure I'm in the right book. Let's turn to Matthew 7, verse 12. I told you I was going to be real sober about this message today. All right, Matthew 7, verse 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The first time I ever remember anything about this scripture, it wasn't in scripture form. It was on our bulletin board in front of our class when I was in the first grade. And the teacher was talking to us about how we treat each other. It says, "Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you." Now, I don't know that they put that in anymore. You know, they've taken so many of them. I was reading not too long ago, but there was a courthouse in Georgia that there was a lawsuit against that county because they had the Ten Commandments. So they had to remove the Ten Commandments. Then they were dealing with some crime a couple of years ago, or a couple of years afterwards. And somebody suggested, "You know what we need? We need to put up in public places a set of rules on dealing with each other. Because there's too many thieves and too many liars and too many fornicators." And someone said, "Well, we had that, but you made us take it down." They had the Ten Commandments. Now, one of the biggest challenges you will ever have, and that is to treat everyone exactly the way you would like to be treated. Pretty tough, you know. But in dealing with people, you must always consider that Jesus Christ has the better answer. The best answer. If you can come up with a solution or an answer that's better than what Jesus has, I'm going to turn the pulpit over to you and let you tell us what it is. treat everybody exactly the way you would like to be treated. Now, there's a large range of behaviors that could be involved in that. Such as if you're telling the story, do you like for people to cut in on you, butt in on you? You like that? But probably you butt in on people all the time, don't you? Are you the type of person that when you chair a meeting, you like for everybody to be on time? Yet when you're not chairing, it's all right to be late? I think one of the greatest signs of selfishness is for a person to feel that they're so important that they can hold up everybody else when business is supposed to start. Now, I've been late to meetings, but very few. I've been late to services, but very few. And I think that your attitude toward other people in small areas, I've had people call me and say, well, nobody's called me. I've been sick for weeks and this type of thing, or nobody loves me. I've had others say, I backslid from church because nobody would ever have anything to do with me. But the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, if you want friends, you must find yourself friendly. Dale Carnegie wrote the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And it's really amazing that if you treat everybody exactly the way you would like to be treated, and if you are friendly to people, how many people just gravitate toward you? When you walk in a room, are you the type of person that brings a lot of brightness to the room? There's some people who walk in a room, it's like the lights get dim. I told a lady one time, I said, have you been praying about this? She said, yes. I said, what happened? She said, it got worse. Got worse, huh? Yep. Every time I pray about something, it gets worse. So have you tried not to pray? She said, no, Brother Grant, you're teasing me. I told Sister Grant, I said, she'd make a good cover girl for the Book of Lamentations. Just always, just. All right. So, here we go. Are you the type of person that you're just going to bring and attract people to you? Or do people avoid your negative attitude? You know, a negative attitude drains you, and it pulls all the strength out of you and those that are around you. But a positive attitude energizes you and energizes the people around you. So I called your attention to the one scenario. You know her. If there's not a problem, she can always create one. The number two thing, I know Hank, he's capable, but it is just too much work to get him to do anything. I have a standing rule. I don't always practice this, but I have a standing rule in dealing with staff members. And that is, you never complain about something that you allow. In other words, if you're in charge of it, why are you complaining? Why don't you just take action? But I've had people, and you, the real test of your leadership is how enthusiastic are volunteers, people who don't get a paycheck. But I've had people that, you know, they always intend. I intend. They're going to. One man even told me, he said, well, I realize that I need some help, and I saw that you had a tape. out on the table out there on dealing with procrastination. And I said, now this is serious. He was serious. I said, did you buy the tape or get the tape? He says, no. He said, I thought I'd wait till next week. All right, here's another one. I had lunch with Fred. Now, if there's anybody here named Fred or Hank, please understand, I'm not talking about you, okay? I had lunch with Fred. To hear him tell it, nothing good ever happens to him. Now, is this the kind of thing that you want to communicate to people? So when you walk away, you say, boy, I don't know. You know, your head's just spinning. I tried to encourage. Sister Grant and I meet a lot of people. We meet a lot of people in restaurants. And if we get a server that can't smile, my number one goal is to make him or her smile. So, first thing, how are you doing today? Doing fantastic. But, and they all do this. They will. They say, oh, what? Like I'm on. I said, but it's going to get better. One server said, Pastor, are you for real? You always say, oh, fantastic, but it's going to get better. In our Christian school, we had some students when we had our Christian school that were always, always in a bad mood. Always. They came to school in a bad mood. They left in a bad mood. I called a bunch of them together. And I said, you know, I remember telling one girl this. I said, you have got such a charming smile, but you are penalizing yourself. You are hurting yourself. Well, I don't like school. Did you like school? Well, I happen to like school. But I didn't like everything about school. And there were some classes I went to that I didn't like. I said, now here's the thing. In life, if you have to do something, you know you have to do it. You might as well just smile and do it, and you'll feel much better about it than dragging your feet because you have no energy. And if you'll start smiling, this young girl started smiling. And since then, now she's a grown lady, has a family. But since then, I don't know that I have actually seen her frown much. It was just that little thing that changed her. So you can bring a smile to any situation. Well, most all situations. Now, what we want to do, we want to, let's just cover one thing that we covered last week. You see, here's how the pattern of life goes. Here's how your thinking affects you. The Bible says, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder soul and spirit to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, first we have attitudes, and then we have thoughts, or we have thoughts and we have attitudes. Now, it's pretty difficult to define which comes first. So let's just use attitudes. Your attitude determines your thoughts. Your thoughts then determine your words. Your words determine your actions. Your actions determine your habits. Now, if you are a Holy Ghost-filled Christian and you're 50 years old or older and you haven't corrected a bad attitude, you're going to have a difficult time correcting it now because you're in the habit of being this way. Some people just run their life by sarcasm. Now, we all use sarcasm. It has its place. But some people just literally run their lives by sarcasm. And everything they say, it cuts, it's caustic. it goes deep. So our attitude determines our thoughts. Our thoughts determine our words. Our words determine our action, our habits. Our actions determine our habits, and our habits determine our destiny. Ultimately, where you will spend eternity can be determined by what kind of attitude you have. In Philippians 4, verse 5 through 9, now we want to talk about building character. This is a very, very important part of this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. I'm not even sure I'm in the right. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, all right, whatsoever things are true. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you think about is what you are. Character defines you, because character basically is what you are. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. So when the Bible says God is love, now he's more than love, but he is love. That's a character trait. Okay? God is peace. Now he's more than peace, but that's a character trait. So the sum total of all the fruits of the Spirit and all that God is adds up to one word: God is holy. The word holy is the sum total of all of the character traits of God. Now the Bible teaches us, let the mind that was in Christ be in us. So the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Do you love truth? The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Do you keep your mind on truth? Now, whatsoever things are honest. You sit around trying to figure out how you could have made $1 million if you'd have just twisted things a little bit, been a little bit dishonest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. How many times have you, in your mind, thought, it's a good thing I'm a Christian, because if I weren't a Christian, this is what I would do? You ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever heard someone say that? Man. They should have known me when I was a sinner. I would have put the fear of God in them. They wouldn't be talking to me this way. Now, if you go around and you're always thinking about, how can I get even with someone? How can I get ahead of someone? That person didn't treat me right. What am I going to say to really, really, really get them? Now, if you don't have a forgiving heart, you'll probably end up thinking this way. See, the real answer to overcoming hurt is to forgive. This is the reason why Jesus says, and forgive those which trespass against you as you forgive their trespasses, their sin. So Acts 2:38, when you're born again, when you're baptized, the Bible does not say be baptized for the remission of your sins. It says that you're baptized for the remission of sins. Your sins and all of the people's sins that were committed against you. In other words, you forgive. As Christ forgave you, you forgive them. Now, when you wipe the slate clean now, you got to follow this. If you don't, right away, if you go back into something that you have been in before, usually when you go back, it gets worse than it was before. Isn't that true? It gets worse. So whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, oh my, isn't this just great? Whatsoever things are of good report. Are you the type of person that if somebody's made a mistake that you like to hear, if you like to hear bad things happening to them? Are you that type of person? I've heard people say, oh, they got what they had coming. I knew it was coming. I just knew. Were you praying that it would happen to them? Are you desirous of that? The Bible tells us that we should not glory in the calamities of others. So when somebody falls, I knew. It's just a matter of time. It's just, I knew all the time. Every time I hear a report about them, I just know it's going to be bad. I'm surprised we've heard all these good reports for these years. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So you got to think on these things. Now, here's the thing. You can't just read a scripture and hear preaching. You've got to write these things down, and you have to start practicing them. So that every time there is a situation in which you're dealing with something else, maybe it's somebody or something else, because you can become negative about life and about circumstances. Somebody said, boy, life was not fair. Whoever said life was fair? Whoever said life was fair? And Sister Cry asked his little boy, Chris, and it was years ago. Somebody pulled my car up underneath the carport, and it was just raining, sleeting, ice. It was bad. Here he comes sliding across the parking lot and coming up. He looked at me and said, must be nice, Brother Grant. Well, I had just talked about this the Sunday night before, and then he looked and he says, oh, well, whoever said life was fair. But you actually have to start practicing these things. And it starts by the way you think. Because the way you think determines your attitude, or your attitude determines the way you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus taught us, Matthew 10, verse 16, our attitude toward other people. It says, I send you therefore as sheep among wolves. A lot of Christians, because they have the truth, they know all about Scripture, they think that they're wolves sent among sheep, that they can just rip and tear. Now, I've pastored seasoned saints before, that when I saw them talking to a new convert, I just closed my eyes and cringed. Ooh. Lord, just shut their mouths, please. If you can lock the jaws of the lions for Daniel, can't you do it here for Calvary Gospel Church? Take your finger and point to yourself like this. Okay, come on. Got your toes underneath the pew, okay? Just say, he may be talking about me. But if he is, come on. I promise to change. All right. I'm going to take you at your word. Building character. Oh, how necessary this is. Now, you think on these things. You know, there's some people, you know, they have a lot of points, a lot of good points, but they're like porcupines, you know, who can get near them, you know. Now, the Bible talks to us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6, about the strongholds. Most strongholds are figments of our mind or our imagination, or it becomes a way of thinking. Stronghold simply means that the devil comes in and holds you, binds you, holds you in a strong way. Now, the Bible talks to us about casting down imaginations. Romans, the first chapter, we won't go there, but verse 21 and verse 22 talks about the people being vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. If your attitude is bad, you'll have a very hurtful disposition. You must remember that Christianity is not all about you, but it's about Jesus Christ. I say it's about Jesus Christ. Okay, we need to guard our attitudes. Need to guard our attitudes. Our attitudes about, I talked about this last week, different races, different levels of education, different economic levels. Do you actually feel comfortable talking to someone that's homeless? Talking to someone that is addicted and has all kinds of problems? Now, I want to commend Calvary Gospel Church. We have a CIP program, Christian Intervention Program, that's one of the most successful ones in our UPC churches. Since the year 2000, we've had about 575 people filled with the Holy Ghost through our. And to me, one of the most encouraging things is for graduation to occur and see these precious people up here with a mic in their hand talking about how they've been in and out of the jail and what all they've done and how now that they found God and the power of the Holy Ghost and how they've been forgiven. And it's just so great. Now, character building. Let's continue on with this. Now, here's how you are converted. You're converted by gaining knowledge that changes your attitude, that changes your action. The Old Testament, you find knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It's through understanding, the second part of this, that your attitude is changed. You have to get so much knowledge in order to change your attitude or to have an understanding. Now, this is not only how you're converted, but it's also how you grow spiritually. So it doesn't make any difference what the problem is that you might have. The best thing to do is to look in the Bible, gain knowledge relative to it. Now, let me just put it this way, okay? Let's suppose that you are really a tightwad and you don't want to pay tithing, okay? You just say, well, I just can't afford to, and, well, how are you going to change? What are you going to do about that? Well, you look in the Bible about giving and about tithing. And you've got to come to the conclusion when you look at what true discipleship is all about, you have to be able to forsake houses and lands and even your own life. That's what you have to do. You have to forsake it all. And if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. So you start looking in the Bible, and you look every day. You gain certain you find certain scriptures, and you start memorizing those scriptures. Now, as you memorize those scriptures and you start praying about those scriptures, guess what? Your understanding begins to change, and your attitude relative to money and giving changes. Now, when your attitude changes about it, then you can become a cheerful giver. See, cheerfulness sets in. So the way you're converted, you gain knowledge, you gain understanding, and you gain wisdom. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and told those people who Jesus Christ was. And when he preached with such great conviction, they changed their understanding, or that brought about an understanding change. They changed their attitude relative to Jesus Christ. And what did they do? What must we do to be saved? They wondered what they had to do to be saved. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises unto you, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what the formula for changing or bringing about the new birth is the same formula that you use to grow in Jesus Christ. Let's say you're having problems with a neighbor. What do you do? Ah, you look in the scripture about how to treat your neighbor. Let's say you're having problems with a brother or sister in church. What do? You look in the scripture. You find that we are supposed to submit to each other. When you submit to someone, according to the scripture, then what you do is you allow them to pull rank on you, not you pull rank on them. Because according to the scripture, a superior can always pull rank on someone, a subordinate, someone that's under them. So, you and your brother have been on equal levels in the church. In other words, you are not talking about a saint to a minister, but a saint to a saint. If you submit to him, he submits to you, then what happens? There's going to be peace among you because you are allowing him to pull rank on you and you're pulling rank on, or he's pulling rank on you. And so as a result, I don't think I said it right there. No, I didn't. All right, let's start all over. Okay, you allow your brother to pull rank on you, and your brother allows you to pull rank on him. I said it right then, didn't I? Well, you're a good audience. You are listening. Yeah. Okay. So that's how there can be peace in the house of God. So we're not all just biting and devouring one another. Okay. So knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. I have a formula that I created in order to do counseling. It worked very well for me. And I want to just give you this, and most of you have heard me say this, and this is a formula on how you overcome what happens when problems occur. How can I change my character? Number one, when some problem occurs, you commit that problem to God. Now, we're talking about attitude, so let's just go back there. If you know that you have an attitude problem, can you actually commit that to God? I'm talking about get out on your knees and repent about it. Can you do that? Now, unless there's some action taken, that won't do much good in a long run. It's okay for the short haul, but listen, it won't work for the long run because you got to go further. Once you commit it to God, then you need to seek spiritual help. You're better off then to go to one of your spiritual leaders, some elder in the church or some minister in the church, say, look, I've been repenting about my attitude. Now, be totally honest about it. Have you noticed that I have a bad attitude? Oh, wow. It's not easy to be a Christian, is it? It takes a whole lot of guts to be a Christian. So you need to commit it, or you need to seek spiritual help. The reason why you seek spiritual help is because your spiritual leader may be able to point out a few things in the scripture that you need to look for that will genuinely help you. Now, in time, most all of the step number two can be eliminated in time. Once you practice this. So you can eliminate step number two, seek spiritual help. Number three, you make a biblical study, scriptural study, on the things that you have committed to the Lord. Look in the Bible. I say look in the Bible. Make a scriptural study. Then the fourth thing you do is that you memorize key scriptures. You commit them to memory. David said, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So you commit this to memory. And the fifth thing you do, you act on the scriptures. So let's say that you have a problem with anger, and you just, nobody can say anything about you. See, Jesus said, beware, offenses will come. I don't care how hard people try, somebody's going to offend you. They just will. They don't, may not mean to, but they will. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to go around and turn your... How many of you know of someone that would come your way, maybe even today in church, that you'd prefer just turn and go the other way so that you wouldn't have to shake hands with them? Don't raise your hand. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So what you do is that you commit this to memory, these scriptures. So if there's someone that you don't particularly like and you want to overcome this, what do? Turn and go the other way? No, you seek them out. Bless those. Pray for those. And you seek them out, and you go up, and you look at them right in the face. You say, "Hey, you know I've had you on my mind all week." I knew if I ever caught up with you. No. You just simply go up, and now, if you hold feelings against someone and you're pretty sure they don't know it, don't go up and tell them. You just open up a can of worms. Just go up to them and say, "Hey, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we love each other. We need our brothers. Praise God." And make yourself do that. Just make yourself do it. And if they've said something to you on Facebook or someplace, just go up to them and back your ears and make out like you have good sense and just look them in the eye and tell them how nice they are. You may say, "But they're not nice." Well, only because they said something to you. See, you judge their character based upon one little thing. Oh, let me tell you something. We need to put on the whole armor of God. That's what Pastor Roy introduced to us. And this is just part of it. So we don't fight bitterness with bitterness. You know, we don't fight a bad attitude with a bad attitude. Just because someone's doing something wrong doesn't mean that we're going to do something wrong. We're going to do everything we can. This old-time religion makes me love everybody. I'd like you to stand with me at this time. Praise God. Let's sing it together. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. makes me love it.
All right, turn to the people around you. Shake their hand. Tell them how much you love them.
Love everybody. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time.
Lift your hands now and worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is basically how you build character. You build character by committing all of your faults to the Lord, by seeking spiritual help and talking to someone about it, by making a scriptural study. Do you believe the Word of God can change you? Yes, it can. By memorizing key scriptures and then by putting those scriptures into action. Oh, praise God, praise God. Now we're going to give you a chance to come and seek the Lord. The way we do this here at Calvary Gospel Church, if you need a healing, as our praise singers begin to sing, just come and stand over here. Stand over here on your left. We have ministers that will come and anoint you with oil. If you have spiritual problems and you need some help, just come and stand right here in front of the pulpit. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. If you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost or you've never received the Holy Ghost, step out and come down over here on the right. Come on right now. Come on. Just come on right now. That's it. People are coming. Invite someone to come down here.